keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavor added in.
Well, let's have a little bit.
Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Trademark Productions podcast radio show, SEO, a little social media, other cool stuff. It's today's a really cool, crazy day. I know we're going to have some other things to talk about, news related.
Yeah.
But most importantly is a friend of mine, Jeremy Shoemaker, better otherwise known as Shoe Money, is going to be on the line with us momentarily, going to be talking about a new book that he has out. We got it pre-released, which was really cool.
Yes, it was.
And to be able to talk about everything that's going on. And actually, I think we have him live with us right now. Are you there, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. So everybody, welcome. Jeremy Shoemaker, betterwise known as Shoe Money. And we're talking a little bit about, well, first of all, thanks for taking the time out. It's probably a lot earlier there than it is over here in Detroit. So getting with us early for the show this morning. But we want to talk a little bit about your book. It's autobiography, and it's entitled Nothing's Changed But My Change. And I was highly entertained throughout the entire book. If some of you out there that know who Shoe Money is and what he stands for, you can know a lot about his blogs at industry events and whatnot. And he definitely has a very peculiar personality, and it definitely radiates throughout the book. So thanks for coming on the show to talk about the book and internet marketing as a whole.
Thanks. I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the great review about it.
Yeah, no problem. So I guess tell us a little bit about, from fat, being overweight and fat and an angry gamer, as I like to put it, to an internet marketing millionaire. You kind of go through the entire book, talk a lot about your background, growing up, where things were born. And I think one of the biggest takeaways I got from the book was a couple statements that you put in there. Two of them most in particular. One is having money isn't everything, which a lot of us do understand that. But more importantly is your suffix to that not having it is. So explain a little bit more on that.
Exactly. I mean, I've been on both sides of that. And, I've been on unemployment, not really homeless, but pretty much to where I didn't have my own place and was just, sleeping on friends' couches and whatnot. But, and not having money, I mean, like, when you live paycheck to paycheck and you have nothing, I mean, it is everything. And you just, it sucks, just having to reach out to people just for any, I'm kind of a pretty proud person, and I don't like to, worry about money all the time and have to hit people up or not, make all my decisions based around money. And then on the other side of that, when you have it, the way I live now is I couldn't even tell you, how much I even make. I don't even know. Like, I know I make a salary. And I know that the salary is mostly dependent for tax reasons. And I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you how much I have, in my bank account and other things. I just know everything's taken care of.
I call shit on that, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I have good accountants that we do at the end of the year, have like an overview. And with my business, I have to have a very tight detail on, an overall picture and, what we're spending on what. But I put people in charge that are very good at that. Anyway, my point is that, now, having money, it doesn't, it's just once you reach a certain point, anything more than that is just great. And I'd love to give back to charity as much as possible. And I feel that when you die, you shouldn't take much with you or whatever. Or you can't take anything with you.
You can't take any of that shit with you. And that's another important part. Yeah. Is one of the things that he did for his book is he did a fundraiser and basically got a ton of sponsors. Obviously, you have a large network out there in the industry with a lot of leaders. But they're also friends. And importantly, is you said, hey, I'm going to raise a bunch of funds. I want to put sponsors in my books. Put your logo in there. You get some recognition. But come on, guys, pony up. And how much money did you raise in doing that?
It was over 30. I think it was about $38,000.
$38,000.
Yeah, I came up with the idea. It probably couldn't have been a worse time for businesses because I came up with it the week in between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. And also that meant I had to like redo the book and re-upload it to the printer and that too. So, and actually I'm even suffering, as you saw, the price on the book on Amazon is still very expensive, and I'm going through a little pain with that, but hopefully things will be on track. But yeah, you know, I just sat there thinking, and I was like, you know, gosh, I've never seen anyone do that. And I think that I could get, you know, and again, it's, I kind of seen angles, and I think you're going to see people steal that in the future.
Because, I think you definitely coined a phrase that helps people identify very quickly that are, you know, a lot of different technical abilities or understanding levels. But I think the important part to take away with the book, at least for me, was it's entertaining from a number of factors. Is A, you're very ADD and you're very open to that. Two is you're kind of all over the place. You kind of talk and keep going and going and going, but you're also very, very intelligent. So it really goes back into your background of where you came from, being very, very overweight, not having all of the advantages as all the skinny kids or other people did, your upbringing with your parents and whatnot, and you know the trials and tribulations of that. But where you started to hone in and see, you know what, I've got some angles, and you know what, I can see some things. And you talk about references to the Matrix and like Morpheus and taking the blue pill, and people that come into your office like, listen, you're going to have to take the blue pill when you come and work here with me because of these reasons. Is I'm going to help for you to see the angles that I see and how to make something out of it and turn something around in doing this. So I think that's pretty inspiring in a lot of different ways. You went through traumatic weight loss to finding love to your wife and your children now and building out a family. So a lot of people out there see the facade of who Shoe Money is. And quite frankly, a number of people for different reasons probably think you're a dick right off the hand. You're arrogant. You're very, very boisterous. You're very opinionated. And you're abrasive. But I think this opens up a different side of you and showing, hey, man, I'm just a regular dude. And you know what? I'm pretty black and white, straight on the table. And, you know, this is where I came from, and this is how you can see and do some things yourself. You know, Jeremy, what I also found interesting in there, too, was you talk about, you know, some of your success. I think it's great for people to read the chapter about when you go into, like, for the ringtones. Talk a little bit about that exactly and how that elevated.
The specific on what?
For, you know, like Pimp My Phone and Pimp Ringtones and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Getting into affiliate marketing. Because a lot of people out there know Shoe Money also by his big $130,000+ AdSense check. You know, that's pretty popular. You also have a picture of it in your book. But, shit, I remember seeing that stuff back in, you know, 2004 or whenever when you first posted that. I've been following you for a long time. So, I mean, talk about that and how that helped that evolution kind of happened.
Yeah, that was actually, I was on unemployment, and I created NextPimp, which was, you know, originally meant tip out your Nextel phone. You know, be careful what you name things, because you just never know where they're going to go. I always get dirty looks from my attorneys and my accountants up until I sold the company 2 years ago. So in 2000, I started the company in 2003, basically, because I just wanted to figure out a way to upload wallpapers to my phone, and I figured it out, and everyone was asking me to do it. Long story short, figured out a way to programmatically do it on NextPimp and then let people categorize them. And then ringtones came out and did the same thing. So you would upload a ringtone, choose what kind of phone you had, and it would spit you back out the correct format that could be loaded on that phone.
That would be...
And you have to remember that.
You know, what's interesting about that is I just want to interrupt you is, you know, our program's, you know, primarily towards a lot of internet marketers and clients and CMOs and whatnot. But I think the important part of this is the detail that Jeremy goes into. Again, going with his background from, you know, working as a Unix administrator to parting apart computers, finding the edge in different ways that other people weren't necessarily seeing. And he stumbled across this with NextPimp. And I think that's where I'm kind of alluding you to there, Jeremy, is that you stumbled across like, hey, shit, man, something's going on. Because what people don't realize is you're actually very, very, like, intelligent and almost kind of like, shit, what's that movie with Russell Crowe and he sees all the numbers?
Rain Man.
Rain Man. No, that's...
Oh, no, not Rain Man. That was A Beautiful Mind. Beautiful Mind. Sorry, I'm getting...
Yeah, Beautiful Mind, where you
I think Mike had you confused with Tom Cruise, since you guys look so much alike.
Yes,
but no,
that's what
it was. You figured out a way to, like, in a very early age, like with Nextel phones and whatnot, to write programs and to figure out a way to, like, kind of break through their crappy programming and figure out a way to upload images onto actual phones at a real early age. So, I mean, you're really kind of going by, you know, challenges, and you get very specific in the differences between hacking and also cracking. And I think that's what's really good, too, is I think our audience really needs to take note is, like, find different ways in where you, you know, can do something and I guess have the right meaning behind it. Look for some alternative ways, not just monetary. And, you know, a lot of that shit follows. So, I mean, go back in the next pimp because that just turned into a huge empire. And you figured out, like, ways with even Google ended up calling you saying, hey, dude, you're getting a shitload of traffic. Make some money with us.
Right. And so, you know, the whole, if you look at everything I've done that's been very successful, the ones that have been very successful, they all start with the same thing. They all start with something that I want, something that I would use daily. And then how do I make that available to everyone in the world? And whether that was free or poor, or Lee Retreat, the next camp, even ShoeMoney.com to some degree, and just all these other companies, ShoeMoney Tools, everything, were all things that I were using every day. And then it was just a matter of sharing that knowledge, but in NextPimp way, it was more like people were like, okay, that's great, but I'm not a programmer, I can't figure this out, so then just making that available. And then also with ShoeMoney ads, which evolved into auction ads, which sold, you know, for a significant amount of money. But, yeah, just NextPimp specifically, that was my entry level into actually making money because, and even when the funny thing is I was on unemployment, Google calls me, say they, you know, they think I can make some really good money, they give me a premium rev share. And so I throw the code up and, you know, within a couple months I'm bringing in six-figure checks. But then I also got a call from an affiliate network who said, you know, hey, you know, if you can do this, you know, like all these people are advertising this affiliate code through AdSense, why don't you just skip them and go direct to us? And then, you know, from there, I started making a lot more money. And then I got into pay-per-click because I was like, okay, on NextPimp, I have people that are, I have hundreds of thousands of people every day coming in searching for ringtones. And I have data that nobody else has because these people are searching for keywords that they're misspelling and they're doing all this stuff. And I know this data, you know, weeks before anyone in the world knows it because it's real-time data. So I started to bid on AdWords, MSN, and then, you know, that got me into the world of pay-per-click advertising. And then I got into subscriptions on there because I was like, you know, all these people wanted premium support, and then I had this huge community of, like, you know, 120,000 users in the forums that were very active. And those people supported the other ones. I charged, you know, the fees to become that. And, you know, I had, like, 60,000 paying subscribers at one time.
So I think, you know, an important part to pick up from this here is that, you know, you originally did this just trying to solve a problem, and it was basically for yourself. And then you went out there to share it because you thought, hey, this would be helpful to other people. And now it came on to a point that, you know what, I found different ways and people have approached me on monetizing it. So I think for a lot of our listeners, it's also important to know that it's the power of traffic. A lot of them know that already, but shit, you got to get people there. When you get that traffic, now it's, what can I do with it? What are all the outlets that I have potentially to harness, you know, this traffic, and what can I make from it, or what can I do with it? And, you know, like the data and the access, early access to very specific data that you were able to utilize and harness a pay-per-click to even make more on return. And, you know, that's pretty important. We're talking with Jeremy Shoemaker. Everybody knows him as ShoeMoney, ShoeMoney.com. Big industry leader. He's got a new book out right now, and it's titled Nothing's Changed But My Change. You can pre-order it starting next week on Amazon for a very, very good price. Right now it's about $2,500, but that's going to change very quickly. He's got the gold-plated ones that came out of Iran, and then those are the ones you can get for $2,500. But
just to be clear, why $2,500 is that was the fundraisers if you buy my book for $2,500. And I was also going for a play on the Guinness Book of World Records, which I submitted and everything, and not sure if it'll be in there or not, but it is the most expensive book ever sold on Amazon.
And you know what? That's the other thing you can learn from Jeremy too in his book is a number of different ways. He talks about your 5 minutes or the ability to walk up to Paris Hilton, to walk up to Zuckerberg, get a picture with them, and figure out how you can harness that sometimes and utilize that association for traffic. To be able to talk about a story, different ways to publicize it. You are kind of in a way a media whore in a lot of different ways. You slut yourself out in different ways, but you always find a way with an edge on it. And so I think that's the next thing I would segue I wanted to go on is you talk about taking risks and the willingness, and that's your edge. So be willing to do what others are not willing to do. In my review that I put for you, I said is basically you always swam upstream. And so I guess go a little bit more into that because I think that's something very important for our listeners to take away from.
I agree.
Yeah, the big, you know, the company motto of mine is doing what other people are not willing to do. And, you know, whether that's ethics, morals, or, you know, even legally sometimes stretching the lines a little bit. I mean, that's the difference between success. If you look at anyone, any major company that's successful, whether it's Bill Gates or, you know, Steve Jobs, rest in peace. I mean, those people did very, very aggressive things when they were younger. Bill Gates sold Windows before he wrote one line of code of it.
You know, that's another important part you brought up in your book was comparison to Jobs, to Gates, to Trump, and you talked about the angle, but a lot of these guys, you know, improvised. They stole code from other people, they stole ideas, and they just made them better.
Right. I'm not saying, you know, go that far. I'm just saying you have to do something that other people are willing not to do. When I had auction ads, I paid out, you know, I did a lot of things in auction ads that, you know, I had 8 competitors when I launched it. We blew up within 4 months, you know, to millions of dollars a month in revenue and all this stuff. And everyone was like, what the shit? You know, eBay is, hopefully I can cuss on your thing. But,
yeah, we say all that.
Okay. So anyway, you know, like I did these crazy things that even, you know, my employee who is a $20 program at the time was like, you are insane. You know, you're going to pay everyone who signs up $5. And I was like, yeah, but the minimum payout's 10. And, you know, just seeing all these angles to and calculations and doing things that other people either can't do or won't do. And just like you talked about going up to Paris Hilton or Mark Zuckerberg or all these other people that I have pictures with, you know, I mean, I've milked that picture with Zuckerberg 6 ways to Sunday. And, you know, I always will. You know, like and what did that take? It took like 2 minutes of being brave and actually walking up to him and his entourage and saying, hey, can I get a picture with you? And was that scary? Was that like, yeah, of course. But it's like, what's 2 minutes for a lifetime of, you know, credibility?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, kind of like latching onto that in a certain way. You know, you talked a little bit about being scary at times. And what I found that interesting in your book is it being, you know, just written this past year. One is you're pretty open if you know, obviously I went to your site and one of your recent blog posts was talking about a number of changes you've went through in the past year. You've had some business issues. You're being realigned. You're growing and being educated. And I think it shows a lot of people, you know, there's success out of what you have, but you still have regular people problems, regular business owner problems, regular management problems. And then one of the things talks about is still being scared, even at this infancy in your empire. And, you know, you're still going to be going on for years and years and years. You're a young guy, but you still have moments of being scared. You talk about a blind conference that you went to. And, you know, I guess talk about that, about, you know, being scared, but then also with that conference, you didn't even know what the hell you're going to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a post that's titled, you know, like, Are You Scared Shitless? And it's really about, you know, like always, I feel, you know, like I always challenge myself to be like uneasy, to be scared, to do things that, you know, when I wrote a post about how I used to be fat or my addiction to role-playing games or just even a lot of stuff I put in the book is I really opened myself up. And, you know, a lot of people, again, it's the thing of like doing what others wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't talk about the things I talk about in there. You know, something, you know, just there's a lot in there, as you know. So, you know, but yes, yeah, so going back to, you know, that conference, I got on stage and I really wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. And there was these huge executives in the audience. And I just think you just always have to, if you're not scared, you know, or in fear or whatever about what you're doing to some extent, I mean, for myself, you know, then I'm not pushing myself hard enough. So, you know, on some of these things, you know, in the evolution of my company, which was to answer your question directly, is, you know, I'm a kid who barely graduated high school, you know, and I think it was more of a confidence thing. And when I first got that check from Google, the reason I took pictures of it was because I thought any day the jig is up. Like, I was never, you know, this is me. Like, I'm the guy who's, you know, destined to fail. You know, I was supposed to be dead by the time I was 30. I'm 420 pounds. You know, like I never thought I would get 100,000. I mean, to that point, just to show you how little amount of money I'd made all my life, like, that $130,000 Google check was more money than I had made in my entire life combined.
Yeah, not to mention you stayed in the book. You took it to the bank, and they were like, seriously, dude, you just bounced 4 checks last month, and you're on unemployment,
right?
And, you know, we're going to hold this check for 90 days.
Exactly. And so then, you know, taking that, and the reason I took the check was because I was like, you know what? when this jig is up, like, next month, and they realize, like, somebody screwed up and was paying me way too much money, then I'm going to write a book about, you know, I was just, like, hedging my bet for the future.
Sure.
So that's the reason I took the picture. And fortunately for me, that was the last month that Google ever sent out a check for more than $10,000 because they said you've got to switch to wire payments. So it was kind of like a combination of, like, I did it for other reasons, but it was also, you know, it was an opportunity that I didn't realize until later. You know, nobody else can, I'm sure there was people with larger checks, but nobody can do it. You know, and people said, you know, I've had a lot of people say, God, if I knew that, that would have got the distribution that you've gotten and really got your name out there, like, I would have done it because I had checked. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't. Yeah. You know, so,
Jeremy,
but really just growing the business, you know, is more about, you know, continuing on that confidence key is more about, you know, like, getting out of my house and my basement, you know, actually building a real company that's stable, because the affiliate stuff and the ringtone stuff and all that, you know, I had to deal with all these copyright issues. I had to deal with all this stuff, and I just felt like, you know, I feel like this business is a month-to-month business. And, yeah, I can bring in a lot of money. I can start a company and sell it 4 months later, put a bunch of money away, but I need a better quality of life. I'm having kids now, all this stuff, and so, which has brought me to the point where I'm at now.
Sure. We're on the phone here for our podcast with Jeremy Shoemaker, betterwise known as Shoe Money. He's got a new book out, Nothing's Changed But My Change. We got about 10 more minutes with you, Jeremy, and I got a couple other things that I do want to cover. Again, a big target for our show and our listeners, it's a lot of CMOs, a lot of marketers, internet marketers, people that are looking to make money online, business owners that are looking at ways to hedge some of different benefits and outlets. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of our listeners, yourself, myself included, that is extremely aggravating, it's also very taunting and challenging, is how quickly our landscape changes and the adaption that we have to make on a regular basis. And I think, you know, part of some of the chapters that you had in your book, and I think being as open and transparent as you were in this book is definitely beneficial to a lot of our listeners. Because you go into the fact of going through auction ads. I want to talk a little bit more about your affiliate background and what you've learned from that, especially in the past year, and your new PAR system. I definitely want to have the listeners know about the PAR system, the benefits of that, because I think it's an awesome feature that you do have, and I've seen some screenshots of some of your email components of it yesterday as well, and that's pretty sexy too. But, you know, you went through a point where you were coming up to learning more and getting into MMA and shit, and so then you decided, hey, man, I just sold auction ads. I made a nice boatload of money, and I want to take on another thing. I'm kind of in the MMA. I'm into these things, so now you go back to, hey, I have interest in certain components, so why not do something with it? So you decided to buy fighters.com, and
yeah.
Talk about that and the success of that whole story.
Yeah, and Fighters.com is one of the biggest mistakes I ever did. And every year I post, like, my five dumbest things from this year. And, you know, again, it's about being transparent and stuff. So if you want to see them, there's 5 to 10 every year I post and why they fail. So Fighters.com was probably my biggest, and not really failures, it's more of an educational experience. But I'm a huge fan of mixed martial arts. I studied it a lot, and I wouldn't say I'm a very good practitioner, but I have.
I've also got the shit kicked out of you, too.
Yeah, I've trained in a lot. I think more of the thing is I've trained with the best in the world, you know, and more than, I mean, I haven't taken many classes locally with white belts and stuff, but I've rolled around with Robert Drysdale at Jiu-Jitsu, who's, you know, 123-time, you know, he's got 123 world titles. So anyway,
so you bought the domain, you negotiated a great deal on a real good domain, fighters.com, brandability,
yeah.
Direct type in, relevancy, SEO right off of the bat, and you decide to build it out, and what happened?
Well, I mean, the biggest problem was I knew nobody in that space, and, you know, it's kind of like the Coke here. If you can make Coke, you make Diet Coke, and so for me, having my conference, having my own advertising network and all that was very degrees of separation where I knew I could reach out. I already had the audience, I already had the connections, but now all of a sudden I'm in mixed martial arts territory. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone there, and when I call people, like I call people for my other stuff, and I'm like, hey, it's your money. I've got this awesome thing. They're like, who the hell are you? And I'm not interested. And so it was one of my biggest, it was something I, it was on my rules of like, you know, like, is this in my, Gary, is this something, you know, that is really just a degree of separation of what I do? And it was a passion project, and I got crushed on it, you know, and I was negative probably $250,000, and the saving grace was that I bought the domain for like $60,000 or whatever, and I sold the company for just about $300,000. So I was actually able to break even after all the legal stuff and everything that goes with selling a company has been done. Very fortunate on that. But, you know, yeah, that totally failed because, one, I, even though I'm a huge fan, I had no interest in running it day to day or actually even providing that service.
And in your book, you go into the detail of, like, getting, a shitload of writers that were very, very, detailed and were very, very, you know, had tons of background, great writers, paying premium dollar for them. And I think this goes back to the, you know, one of the main takeaways from your point is the willingness to do what others are not willing to do. And also, you know, that you got to try different things and you don't know how it's going to work out, but put your best foot forward and something really great may come out of it. So to a lot of our listeners who have tons of college debt and you have your MBA and all that other shit, you might've spent $250,000 on all that shit. And, you know, Jeremy did that basically in a year and got the same type of an education in a lot of different ways. So, you know, that's another thing, you know, you went on to also harnessing and I guess getting micro, which of a lot of our listeners that are doing it for their own business or might be thinking about doing it for themselves, freeseoreport.com. I want to say that came out 3-4 years ago. I want to say three. Uh-huh. Yeah, and you had this just, I'll be quite honest, it was an eraser. You know, it's a tool. It is what it is. It runs some reports for you. It does some ranking comparisons and automates it and it kind of white labels it for you. And you had a good marketing angle on it, which was great for a value add. And then talk about that value add, what you charge for it, how that went, and how you flipped it and turned it.
Like you said, it was, you know, I'm a big believer in talking from experience and showing people actual things from experience. And so that was kind of the thing behind it. You know, it took a keyword, took your domain, and then it was like, okay, enter your email to get sent the thing, the report, and your first report was free. Just like, well, like the free credit report model. So then, you know, subsequent reports were $10, or every person you referred, you got a free report. Okay? So without going into actually what it did, I mean, you summarized it very well. I mean, it's not rocket science to your listeners. You know, that it did a report and basically compared it to the top 10 results, showed what they're doing versus what you're doing, whether those keywords are on page stuff and blah, blah, blah. So,
I think the point of it, though,
thing was really on the back end, where I would start to drip you educational content about SEO things you might want to think about. You know, I would kick you to text link ads, but I would also warn you about that stuff. I would kick you to web hosting, but just let you know, like, why that's important. But I made money on the back end because of the affiliate side. But it was giving you educational value. And then, you know, like, the subscription monthly, I didn't even care to make money. I just wanted it to go viral, and it did. And it got to the point where it was getting about 600 to 1,000 SEO leads, you know, a day. And to an SEO company, this was, I mean, the value of this was enormous.
Yeah, and I think a good takeaway for our listeners is that sometimes you don't have to overthink this shit. Sometimes you just have to go with your intuition, launch it, forget about all the naysayers, test it, try it out. But then you talk about the drip system on the back end and some of the affiliate components. Uh-huh. Look at other alternative revenue streams that you can be pulling in from something like this as well and execute it. Now, you know, I want to talk about the passion and when you kind of look at personal passion versus business and what makes the most sense. If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. So you were out there soliciting to try to sell off Free SEO Report. This thing's churning SEO leads, very qualified ones, people with budgets, any SEO company. You know, my firm, I would have looked at it and said, like, well, shit, man. I mean, if I buy this for X amount of dollars, it only takes me a couple leads in conversion to get this back. I have all this exposure, blah, 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 blah. So you had a lot of passion trying to sell it, and then you kind of had a come to Jesus after seeing some Shark Tank episodes. Talk about that.
Yeah, and I haven't really talked to the company that purchased it to see what their feedback on that would be, but you know what, it is what it is. So I tried to shop it around and I just couldn't get anyone to buy it. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, what is wrong with you? You're getting all these leads, like you're already paying like, you know, $10 per lead. And I'm like, these couldn't be more qualified or fresh, just buy this company. And so I started watching Shark Tanks and seeing how they structured the deal. So the next time I got a call, I just got a call from an SEO company, heard you're trying to sell this. What do you want for it? And I said, you know, instead of just
well, you know, first, now that I'd watched Shark Tank, I was like, you know, I see a huge potential for this, that I want to be a part of it, so I'd want to, I wouldn't sell all the equity. I'd want to remain at least a 5 to 10% thing so I can continue to be a part of it. And if it sells in the first year, I want to be, you know, I want 25% at sale price because I know you're just going to flip it for a lot of profit. And I also showed him the number, which was 4 times what I ever asked for. Well, just based on that structure, they did it. And they also sold their parent company, so then I even got an extra kicker.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. That's great. So, you know, I kind of want to roundabout things here, but, you know, we're talking live with Jeremy Shoemaker, Shoe Money. He's got a book. You can buy it pre-sale on Amazon. It's Nothing's Changed But My Change. Also, you're going to be able to hear this by the time you're listening to this podcast. He'll be on his way out to Affiliate Summit that's happening out in Vegas, and that starts, I believe, on the 13th. I'll probably see you out there as well. And he's going to be doing some book signing. You can buy the book out there as well. And you can go to shoemoney.com and find out a ton of great things that you can sell and make money from. Hear about all of his eulogies and all of the things that he does as a pastor. And let's go back to the book real quick, though, too. As you talk,
as a pastor?
I'm just talking. You got a little bit of religion that you speak out there.
I do talk. I think the second chapter is titled, I'm God.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you know, again, Shoe Money definitely has some arrogance, and I think now everybody can get a little idea of his personality. And you know, he's a really good dude, but he's just he's black and white. He's strong. He comes across, but you know, he's walked the walk, so he can talk it. And you know, one of the things I appreciate also too is that you've been so deep in the affiliate space since it really started. You've went through the ups and downs. Shit, you've partied at the Playboy Mansion. You've done a ton of things with some of the best affiliates. Companies when they only had life for 6 or 9 months. And you also talk about some different business dealings. One of them I want to bring up that you do call out pretty specifically on your site is Dennis Yu. Talk about him.
Well, yeah.
Because he's still out there.
What's my motto is he's really only talking about experience. And so, you know, with Dennis, the whole story is on my site. And I have a little section called Shitlist. And you know, I actually get probably a lot of inquiries about Dennis and
he's still out there on the circuit speaking. You know, that's the other big thing. He's still out there talking about Facebook shit.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, the guy was banned from Facebook, and I have no experience with him running anything legitimate, ever. So I wrote about my experience, and I feel like, and I just settled another lawsuit with a local company, and I wrote about them and how, you know, when I feel someone is an evil person and has malice and foresight before dealing with you, like they intend to do you harm, I share my experience. I don't tell you not to do business with them. You can decide that for yourself. All I can do is share my experience, and the judge looked at me and said, don't you feel this is a whole negative thing? Like, why do you even write about this? I think this is a negative thing. I wouldn't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm glad you asked, because I feel like it's your duty to share your experience, negative or positive. And not some, like, lame-ass rip-off report where you can hide behind some freaking moniker. I'm talking, like, stick it out there, be yourself, and say, this is my experience with this company. That, I believe, is my duty. And I don't mean to get on the soapbox here, but I'm just saying that I totally turned around and started, and I said, what if one of my friends was doing, you know, this business, lost $100,000 to some guy, and later I said to him, like, oh, man, I wish you would have asked me about him, because I would have told you.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I'm pointing out to your credibility in writing the book that, you know, that's titled Nothing's Changed But My Change. Is the fact that you have transparency and that, you know, you have a shit list on your blog. You've been through a lot of these because of your media spotlight, because of who you are in the industry. A lot of people come to you with a lot of different things, and you vet those out in different ways, and you've had different experiences. So you have a shit list on there, and you point out, you know, your experience in dealing with certain different people, and that's nothing different than saying that you had a bad burger at, you know, down the street on Yelp in a lot of different ways. So
it's amazing, like the response that I've got from even companies when I do, not really add them to the shit list because, you know, they're not really intending to do me harm, but just like Subway. I talked about how, you know, just a bad experience I had. I had Subway reach out to me. I had, you know, Best Buy. I made a
a thing about Best Buy and how my experience, and I actually recorded a video. It was on Barbara Walters, and I did a little interview with her on 2020, and here comes Best Buy and gives me a huge, you know, gift card. You know, just on and on and on. And that wasn't when I had a very big following, you know, or not the following that I have now. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to being brave and doing what others won't, and, you know, and that's, and then nothing's changed when my change really just is that. I mean, I haven't changed as a person. I've always called out people as a kid, got in a lot of fights sometimes, but when I feel somebody's wrong or whatever, or they've done somebody wrong, like, I attack them, just like I do on the internet. People sometimes think I'm a bully, but I'm like, look, this is the way I feel. You know, it's my blog. It's a lot of times people also think, like, I'm a news site or I'm this. And I'm like, look, it's a blog. It's me. And, you know, I'm a whore. I'm a self-promoter. And my blog looks like a goddamn NASCAR now because I sell so much advertising. But I still deliver value.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. You know? You know, wrapping up here, you know, talk a little bit about your shoeontology. It's kind of, you know, the last chapter of the book, and you talk about your shortcut into shoeontology, and you have a number of, I guess, very, very simple things to follow. You know, being in this business, being an internet marketing business, and I guess as a business owner in life in general, and I think a lot of them have some merit.
Thanks. Yeah, the shoeontology thing is just like my kind of thought process on certain things, and so as I do calls with friends or, you know, I'm in an entrepreneur's organization, and I'll talk from my experience, a lot of times people say, like, oh, my God, that's a great quote. I'm going to totally steal that or whatever, and I'll, like, make note of it, and then I'll share it on my blog. So I'm like, well, maybe other people. And, you know, you talked about 3SEO reports, some of these other things, and how what I've done isn't rocket science. But here's the thing. It is rocket science to the main public. And one thing I want a lot of your listeners to really take home is that you underestimate what you know. You know, there's a guy that was just featured the other day on CNN in Europe that sells snowballs, okay? And he sells them for $2 a piece, and they're perfectly round. He sits there and he packs them, and when you walk by, you can buy them, and he sells them. This is what the guy does in the wintertime to make extra money. And it's because he has a skill that nobody else has, or other people find a value, and if people actually buy snowballs, it's because he's very good at it. I'm a very good email marketer. I'm very good at understanding SEO and other things like that. And I know a lot of your listeners, probably everyone listening, has a skill, has knowledge that is worth money, and don't underestimate that. Don't feel bad about charging for something that you're good at, because it brings value to people.
Yeah, that's in a huge way. Jeremy, you've got a new company that seems to, I'm hearing a lot of great things about it, the PAR program. Talk about that. I mean, because you've harnessed a lot of knowledge over the years, and now you've kind of made a tool that a lot of people can utilize.
Right, so PAR program is people acquisition and retention. And what we do is we take a one-time website visitor, we capture their email through various methods, and then we start to drip them content and connect with them through email and social media, built that relationship to turn them into not only a one-time purchaser, but to keep them coming back. We have various ways to do that. And because we also, from an email, gather, you know, 160 points of data, whether it's their Facebook stuff, all the way down to their images they use, and also likes and stuff like that. And what that allows us to do is deliver reports, not only from email, but say, okay, you know, do you know that your highest dollar value lifetime customer is a Facebook user, male, ages this to this, who's interested in country music, right? So, you know, you don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to go to Yahoo Insights or one of these things and say, like, search for a keyword and say, okay, well, the demographic should be this. You know, the numbers are there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our PAR program takes everything I've learned through email marketing. And I've been really successful with email marketing, and not from a spam perspective, but from building real value, giving real value, connecting with the user. I mean, I won a BMW last year, or 2 years ago, actually now, you know, for selling, you know, $180,000 worth of someone else's product. You know, just when you build value with people, they want to buy from you. They owe you. You're their friend, right? And so if you get on my newsletter, and I joke around about this all the time, and I make no bones about it, when I speak, I'm like, if you want to see how this works in action, go to shoemoney.com, get on my newsletter, you'll see how I'll deliver you value, and you'll buy something from me. And everyone laughs, and I'm like, laugh it up.
but I will see that you will purchase something from me. Those of you that I recognize in the audience, I'll see your name come across. So, it's just, I mean, it sounds cocky, but it's just fact.
Well, you know, and you built this out based off of your experience, I mean, real metrics and a lot of reporting and research that you've done. So, I mean, this is nothing that was off the shelf or modified from other shit. These are a lot of, like, internal tools, and you're just like, hey, I need to – a lot of people want to utilize this, and I think there's a really good value-add service. And as us as marketers, we know it's in the traffic, but it's in the demographics. And, you know, I would have to think, too, not only are you giving all those demographics back to your customers itself, but – shit, man, you've got a lot of great information that a lot of other third parties are going to want to utilize and buy from you as well. So you've got multiple revenue streams from the PAR program. If not now, then definitely in the future. It's got to be in the back of your head.
Yeah, just to be clear, I mean, we don't share any data with third parties or anything like that. We do ask some of our customers or clients if we can anonymously aggregate the data together, so that we can just do some, like, really cool case studies of showing, like, what a Twitter user, how much more it's worth, what a user's interest. I mean, we actually have the data. Like, all these people put out these infographs of theories. We have the exact data. So, you know, when those companies volunteer to do that, it's really awesome because it allows us to do that. And the PAR program, again, just like you said, you know, is based on experience. But the bigger thing is my core concept of something that I want, I would use every day. And I've used every platform under the sun to do this, but I felt like there's nobody who gives a great level of customer service. There's nobody who has a platform, you know, and everything that I always wanted. And so that's what we've built. You know, we have all these features that nobody has, and then we have the greatest features that everyone has, but in one awesome platform. And we've converted, it's funny, we've converted people from, you know, all different things, and I've done zero marketing. Like, I barely mention it on my blog, and when I do, it's just in talking about working on it and stuff, and we are just swamped with customers and hiring clients and stuff. So I have a marketing plan, and I'm really excited about implementing that at some point. But, you know, for now, it's been, it really is, and again, it's just I have a skill and something that, you know, is very undervalued, that I even undervalue it myself. And when I go into companies, they're just like, I mean, we're accounting for a huge percentage of their revenue. And with us, it's so transparent. They can say, okay, we're paying the PAR program this much. We're making this much. This is awesome.
That's hot. Hot, classy, sexy for an assy. And we're on the phone here, wrapping up here with Jeremy Shoemaker, betterwise known as Shoe Money. And if anybody wants to check out two things, he's got a book, Nothing's Changed But My Change. You can get that on Amazon. You can meet him out at Affiliate Summit next week in January 13th through the 15th in Las Vegas, Affiliate Summit. He'll be signing copies there. You can order it, pre-order it over on Amazon.com as well. And check out ShoeMoney.com. Jeremy's very accessible. He's very interested in a lot of things, as you can see. He talks his ear off and goes in many different directions and circles. But the fact of the matter is he's very intelligent, and he could probably help you guys and your company in a lot of different ways with a number of tools that he has access to, or even his PAR program for all that. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time out, man, and talking up your book. And we'll hope to see you out at Affiliate Summit, and good luck with the sales with everything.
Thanks a lot. Just quickly, those Sundays, Affiliate Summit, Max Bounty has been awesome and bought 300 books to give away to attendees. Donation if you want, and I'll also be signing up. So thanks so much for having me, Dwight, and I really appreciate it and what you do for the industry.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
And there we have it.
There we are.
Talked his fucking his ear off.
Yeah.
But you know what's really cool is at any of conferences that we go to, any times that I've seen the guy, he's very open to speaking with a lot of people. What you've heard, he's definitely the same in person, and he's pretty straight up. It's face value, man, but the guy knows his shit. And I think that's the big reason why when he, you know, approached about, hey, you know, who wants to read the book maybe use some time and let people know about it is he's got a great story to tell. And as a internet marketer, as being involved in SEO, social media, affiliate, blah, 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 building sites and shit. But, you know, for our clients, but, you know, a lot of our listeners out there, you're either doing that for your company, you're doing that for a specific product and service. And I think there's a lot of takeaway from what he has in the book, but also to kind of follow through and to, utilize a lot of your hidden talents, a lot of your value, a lot of the knowledge that you have, and apply it, and to keep it very simple.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really loved about the book was that he is an everyday guy who took some relatively ordinary skills and made millions. You know, he's great.
I think the thing, you know, like I pointed out is, you know, his start off getting into internet marketing. I mean, he even gets to the point of talking about, is it Magic Quest? One of those fucking role-playing games.
Thank you.
Computer,
yes.
PC-based.
Yep.
But, I mean, the guy was so sick into it, playing it, like, day in, day out. Also NHL hockey, like, on PlayStation. But he got to the point where he's building up these characters and finding all these tools or swords or spells and everything. And he's just like, you know what? There's a huge market in all the chat forms that are out there and everything. You see people from Korea.
Yeah.
And they're really deep into it. Well, you know what? I've done so much and invested so much time in this. I can sell this. I'm going to auction off my character and some of these tools and spells on eBay.
Yeah.
He just, again, finding the angles to monetize what you have, because ultimately is if it's coming from something you enjoy, it's going to be a lot easier to do.
Exactly.
And it's also going to, you know, when you get in ready to move on to the next thing, how do you monetize it and sell it? And a lot of times those answers are right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
but being exposed to all these different tools and strategies and tactics that we have out there available to us.
Yeah, I think you just have to keep your eyes open at all times and kind of do some self-analyzation to realize what you're worth and what you do that's valuable. Because a lot of people, like he said, have skills that nobody else has. And if they market themselves the right way, they can make a pretty penny.
You know, coincidentally, that's his tagline, is skills to pay the bills, shoe money. And, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, I would definitely go to his site, shoemoney.com.
Definitely.
And check out his stuff and his PAR system. I've been exposed to it. You heard a little bit more about it today. I can speak from experience that it's very hot and sexy. It's definitely some setup. And you've really got to be involved in the marketing. This is just not something that's just right off the cusp, like I've got a product and I want to market it. You need to understand drip marketing. You need to understand lifetime value. You need to understand of not only being prospecting and making assumptions of what that customer may be worth or what they might be interested in, but also being reactive and changing gears in many different ways. So if you are CMO, you're in a marketing department, whatnot, it's interesting to think in some of the mythologies in the way that he has. And obviously, if you're going to engage with a gentleman like him, he's going to go above and beyond and talk your fucking ear off.
Yes, he will.
But he's going to definitely have it from a lot of experience. I mean, Jeremy's the type of guy that if you know that the item's right, the job's going to be right. If he's going to charge $10,000 to give a day of consulting, it's going to be definitely worth it. You're going to mm-hmm. receive your value back. You get what you pay for. And this is a guy from Hard Knocks that you know kicked the can around the alley to get where he is today. And dude's pretty humble, man.
No, he is. And that's one of the things that he drives home in his book, is that he works hard for everything. He doesn't do a half-assed job on anything. If he says he's going to do something for you, he does it, and he does it well.
You know, one last thing that he said in the book, which is pretty cool, is he does get personal. He talks about how he met his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about going through his surgery for his weight loss and, you know, all the changes, having his kids, his two daughters. But, you know, one of the things that was funny that really radiated with me is that as being a parent, he's like, you know, they say the happiest day of your life is when your kid's born. Bullshit. It's the scariest day of your life. Like, you're sitting there, you're nervous as hell. You know, childbirth is beautiful and magical, and it is downright scary. And just being a parent, oh man, it's crazy. And he hit the nail right on the head there. So he's a very down to earth dude, and smart and sharp. So
yep.
I would definitely check out his book and check out his site and follow him. So, you know, moving forward, 2013, I think it's a badass way that we started off the new year with this podcast. You know, some of the things we are going to be doing is more interviews like this. I think it's I've spent so many years in this industry, and I've acquired so many different friends and people that I've done work with and tried other systems like Shoe Money, that I think it's time now. Years ago, we used to do some podcasts, and we had Aaron Wall. We had, I think, Brett Tabke from PubCon. We've had Todd Mailco was in our office, and Stunt Double, and he's talked about SEO strategies. And I think it's time to get a lot more of these people on the phone. The woman that started Webmaster Tools for Google,
mm-hmm.
Vanessa. I mean, we've had her on
as
well.
Can't remember her last name. But
I fucking can't remember her last name either. I want to say Zamora, but it's not.
Starts with a W, I thought, but I don't know.
Whatever.
It's on our website.
Anyways, it's time that we talk to a lot more of these people and kind of dumb it down, because I know a large part of our audience also too is you are working somewhere and you're doing stuff on the side. You have your own site. You have some aspirations to get into your own things, and it's hard to navigate. It's hard to outline processes and how it's to associate time to raise some capital to do some of these things. And they have a lot of different inspiring ways to reach some of those goals, and probably a lot of different tricks, a lot of different edges or angles. Jeremy puts it, as yes. Jeremy puts it, of a way to achieve those things. So I think that's what we're going to start to do on a regular basis. Is
I agree.
Orchestrate those interviews, get those people on the phone, help them to share some of their wealth and some of their cool stuff, and keep everybody in check.
Yes.
Do we got any news report, like what's happening different with the industry right now, besides that
huge
that Snapchat?
Snapchat, but... I didn't see the whole article you were referring to earlier today, but I know that we discussed Snapchat briefly last week. It's a application that allows you to send pictures to friends.
You can send your dick or your tits to one of your friends, and when they see the picture,
it only lasts for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and as soon as they take their finger off the screen, the picture disappears. But it's a whole thing apart is that those pictures, those images, are still residing somewhere in some server in some instance or form.
Yep,
and it's going to get people in trouble. So I would just mostly stay away from that shit.
And I mean, it's been pretty quiet this week because I think people are just getting back to work just from the holidays. But everything that I've seen is just local, 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 local. All the focus is on local SEO.
Huge, huge. And you know, Google had a big announcement yesterday, too. I guess basically...
The FTC?
Yeah, the FTC announced that they're not monopolizing.
No.
And, they're not favoring their own products over other people's products.
Which I found interesting.
I found it very interesting myself. And
they were penalized slightly for a few small things, but nothing that was going to change Google in any meaningful way. Yeah, it pretty much affirmed that Google is not evil, you know, in a lot of ways. That's how Google is taking this, is, you know, their motto, you know, about we're not an evil company, etc. But I don't know. I still think Google pushes their products more than anybody else's.
Well, I mean, they have the market share.
Exactly.
I mean, for search. The other thing, too, is, you know, Wall Street Journal had an article yesterday as well, and it's basically stating that Google's really making an attempt this year. We've been saying this now for the past year and a half, ever since they did require people to have an account inside Google to use any of their tools whatsoever, and then, of course, gave you a Google Plus account.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very controversial tactic against Facebook, and that is requiring people to use the Google Plus social network. So you create an account to use Gmail, YouTube, or other services, even if it's to review a restaurant or something through Places, because they acquired Zagat. You have to have an account.
Yep.
And they think, everybody's stating it's a very aggressive measure. I think it's old. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they have so many great tools anyways. So
I think
you,
it's one of those things that's annoying more than anything. That's it. It's annoying for users at first, and then they're going to stay logged in and forget about it.
Yep.
Because when I go to YouTube, I don't think about logging in because I'm already logged in through my Gmail. You know, and therefore Google Plus.
And they're tracking all the shit that you're looking at, what you're doing, aggregating all that information.
That's why I get all the hockey highlights whenever I go on YouTube. Suggested videos. Which, by the way, hockey fans, today there are rumors of a deal being announced.
No.
Yes.
I
saw it yesterday.
Stupid. Dumb.
It is.
It's dumb. You know what I really feel bad for is some of the guys that are out there. If they're a, you know, say mid-career or whatever, mm-hmm. they've already experienced now two
or
lockouts
three.
Or three lockouts in your career.
Yeah.
And your career is not going to span any more than like 7 to 10 years.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
Best.
Yeah.
At most. So now you've experienced three lockouts, man, and all that shit. And, you know, a lot of these guys went back overseas to go play and everything. But
and all the local businesses, man, that rely on, like, the Post Bar on Congress or Chili's, they all rely on 41 days a year to make bank. And now, at best, we're looking at 24 of those days coming back. But
yeah. You know, another thing that's happening, too, is Google and Microsoft are having a bit of a bitch-slapping fight in a kind of a public forum. Microsoft's kind of pretty much came out and said that support for YouTube mobile-wise has been really, really weak, and it's affecting users. And Microsoft has, you know, I guess for the past couple years, to get a proper YouTube app working, and develop its own app to bring the experience better to Windows phone devices. So they're really saying you're not supporting any of the Windows platform. You're not, you know, helping out with mobile video and all this shit. So it's pretty funny about the.
Did you see that Windows 8 is only 1.78%? Of all worldwide computers?
Dude, I haven't used a Windows phone, and I don't got to tell you.
Well, no, Windows, like the desktop operating system, is not even 2% of computers yet. Like, people haven't upgraded to Windows 8 yet. They're still using Windows 7 or XP.
Yeah.
And God forbid you
know
use
what?
Vista.
I think a large accounting of that is corporate.
Yep, I agree.
Huge. Huge corporate and governmental and stuff. Yeah, who gives a shit about IE? Not me. Ubuntu also launched a new operating system for phones.
I saw that.
Pretty cool. I think it's kind of hot. Sexy, too.
It'll be interesting to see if it catches fire. They do love their open source technology.
Yeah. And also, Twitter has a new genealogy chart.
Hmm.
That's kind of fun. And you should also think about how you celebrated on January 2nd, Public Domain Day.
Oh, I didn't realize that was Public Domain Day.
Yeah. Did you do anything to publicdomain.org?
No,
and
I didn't.
That's the domain.
I do have
manifesto.
A domain that I own, but...
Yeah. So it's really to celebrate domains and how they reflect in our society. Google.com.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. Check it out. Publicdomainday.org. I'm Dwight. You are
Mike.
And we're going to wrap up since this has been a long podcast, but I think it was really well worth it. So
I do too.
We welcome your comments, suggestions, donations, and donation.
Always accepting donations.
Always accepting donations or bottles of really good cab. I would go for that stuff too.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.